always know where he's at or what he's doing. But I'm glad he always knows just where I am. Not only what I'm doing, but he knows how I'm doing. Amen? Aren't you glad that he's mindful of us? Amen. Thank God, boy. That's who I serve right there, the shepherd who's always counting sheep. Amen? He knows exactly where you are, and not only does he know where you are, but he knows why you're there. Acts chapter number 27 tonight, just a quick thought that I hope will be a help to you. Acts chapter number 27. I'm trying to decide how much of this to read tonight. How many of you, being honest, would say I'm familiar with this chapter in my Bible? Acts chapter number 27. This is the shipwreck. This is where Paul told the men not to sail, but they sailed anyway and sailed right into a storm. Let's see. Let's look at maybe verse 19, where the Bible said, "And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship," they're lightening the boat to try to keep it from sinking. He said, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away." What had they lost? Y'all talk to me tonight. What had they lost? They had lost all hope in this storm. You never lose hope on the mountaintop. Are you listening? You never lose hope when the bills are paid. You never lose hope when the job's going well. You never lose hope when everybody's healthy. That's because so many times we put our hope in what we can touch, feel, and see. Amen? We put our hope in our homes, our families. Amen? We put our hope in our jobs and our finances and our health. Everything I just named is changeable. You understand that? Everything I just named is changeable. So when God starts removing some of those things from your life, you lose hope. Why? Because your hope was in something that can be lost. Amen. Amen? But I love the old song that said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." We can put our hope in Him because He is unchangeable. Amen. Amen. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. Amen. Amen. Everybody knows that scripture. But all their hope was taken away. In other words, all their sailing efforts, all their sailing expertise, everything they knew to do did no good. That's right. Amen. Everything they knew to do. Have you ever been in that shape where you everything you knew to do, you've done it, and still things were no better? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Have you ever got in the middle of that that situation and wondered, why am I here? Why am I here? If you've been saved for a pretty good while, you get into a storm like this in your life, not a physical storm, but a spiritual storm or whatever the case may be, and you learn to get to the place where you go, "Okay, Lord, what's going on?
Yes, sir.
Why am I here? Why are the winds blowing?" I want to talk just for a few minutes tonight about the winds of God in our life.
Yes.
Amen? The winds of God in our life. God's sending a... Y'all bear with me. God's sending a storm in our life doesn't always mean the same thing. Would you agree? Doesn't always mean the same thing. There are those that that say the only reason you'd have a storm in your life is you're not right with God.
Yeah.
Tell that to Apostle Paul when you get to heaven. Amen? Yeah. Tell that to Abraham. Tell that to some of the great heroes of the faith and see how they respond with you. Call up in Greenville, South Carolina and tell that to Brother Randy Pike and see what kind of answer you get. Amen? But God allows storms to come in our life. A couple of verses down, in verse 22, Paul gives that great statement, "Be of good cheer." Be of good cheer. Hey, it may look bad, but you and I have something to be of good cheer about tonight. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9. I want to show you some reasons God allows storms and winds to blow in your life. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9. The Bible said, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Can we read that again? Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 9, is that right? A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. Listen, sometimes when the wind blows in our life, it's just the sure wind of God's direction. In these days, when Paul was on the ship, as these men sailed, they didn't have big Caterpillar engines in the bottom of the boat. They didn't have mercury outboards hanging off the back. They had sails. And you know what a sail requires? It requires wind to get its direction. Amen? It's the wind that moves the vessel. And sometimes it's the wind that God allows to come in our life to move us from one place with Him to another place with Him. Amen. How many times has the Lord ever used a storm to move you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. You know what happens? We get comfortable where we are. We get comfortable. It's kind of like that little eagle in the nest. Why leave a perfectly good nest? Why leave mama coming and bringing you food day in and day out? You got it made right there. But you know what the Bible said? The Bible said that mother eagle stirreth up her nest. She has to get it to the place where it's not quite so comfortable anymore. Amen? And God will get you sometimes to a place of discomfort in whatever area of ministry you might be in or whatever area you are in your life. God will get you to a place of discomfort to move you. I was thinking about Brother Barry. when I was putting this message together the other day, Brother Barry several years ago was in a church there in another town not far from them, and his pastor died, and this younger guy took over. He's kind of a modern age Bob Jones kind of guy, a Bible corrector. I'll just leave it at that. One of these people who thought it was wrong to lift your hands during church or say amen and, you know, that kind of thing. And I told Brother Barry then, I said, you ought to just start a church right here in Somerset where they ain't one. Yeah. And he had been the youth pastor there for years and years and years and had been a deacon there for years and years. He said, well, I'm just going to be still and wait on God. I believed with all my heart that it was time. I really did. I had that burden for a long time. I said, now your pastor's dead. This guy don't even believe the book. Now's your opportunity. He said, well, I'm just going to be still and wait on God. Well, the next thing you know, people in that church turned on him, hurt him and his wife very badly. He said, Brother Eddie, why is God allowing these people we've known all these years to treat us in such a way? I said, God's trying to move you. Amen? Yeah. God's trying to move you.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes when God sends a storm of wind in our life, He's trying to move us. Not so much, not every time a different location, but maybe a different place with Him. Amen? Maybe to a different place with Him. A storm of cancer will make you love your daughter like you never have. A storm of cancer will make you learn how to pray like you ain't never learned. I'll never forget something Levi said, and it just stunned me when he said it. When he first started preaching to the teens out here, he told them one Wednesday night, he talked about his wreck and gave his whole testimony about being in a coma and all that. I'm sorry. Levi said that was not his storm. He said, when God sent that storm in my life, he said, that wasn't even my storm. He said, I don't remember anything about it. He said, but that storm was for my dad, and that storm was for my mom. God moved us spiritually during that storm. Well, where'd he move you to? He moved me another level on the ladder with him. Amen? I'd never prayed like that. I know I've had people in the church to die, and we've had all kind of tragic things, and we've prayed for folks, but when it's your kid laying there, it'll change the way you pray, amen? I'm sorry. Sometimes the Lord will allow these storms to come to get us to move, to get us to a place of uncomfort or discomfort where we'll say, hey, I'm not staying right here any longer. I've either got to go back or go forward, one of the two, amen? I've got to have some relief, amen? Maybe the storms are blowing in your life, because God's trying to take you to a new level or a new place with Him. Sometimes the blowing of God's wind seems contrary in our lives. Look at verse number 4 of Acts 27. The Bible said, and when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were set. Contrary. You know what that means? That means against you. Amen? That means against you. Several years ago, well, longer than that, I was a teenager, me and one of my buddies, Timmy Malden, we went to the Coosa River. I guess it's the Coosa River there in Cartersville. And we put in the river, floated down the river, and was going to camp out and catfish all night, and we did. And we was trying to come back up that river. You know, we thought, the current ain't bad. We can paddle that. And they started generating water at the power plant. Brother, that little smooth flowing river become a tidal way. And that water, you could watch it just do like that. And buddy, we was paddling and paddling and paddling and paddling and paddling. And I said, Timmy, we're going backwards. I mean, we were paddling with everything we had, but we wasn't making any headway. We was actually losing ground. Why? Because that water was contrary to us. It was pushing. Have you ever tried that? You're trying to go forward in your life. You're trying to do right. You're trying to live right. You're trying to be right to everybody else. You're trying to keep up your prayer life, your Bible reading, your soul winning. You're trying to keep up with all these things. But no matter how hard you try, it seems like you're just getting pushed back further and further and further and further. God has got you in a place of school to teach you some things about Him. Himself. Amen? Just because the winds are contrary to you don't mean you're out of the will of God. That means God's working on you. Amen? Amen? And usually when you get any kind of work done, it hurts. Whether it's at the dentist, whether it's at the doctor, whatever the case may be, if you're getting work done on your body, it hurts, doesn't it? So sometimes we'll get in an uncomfortable situation spiritually because God's trying to build us and make us more like Him. Amen? Verse number seven. The Bible said, and when we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce were come over against, say that somebody, Cardis? Send us. There you go. I can't see. The wind not suffering us, we sailed under Crete over against Salmon. Did I say that right? Sometimes it seems like the wind's blowing incredibly slow. Yeah, amen? Yeah. Sometimes it seems like we're just spinning our wheels. Like, God, what are you waiting on? Yes. I'm chomping at the bits. I'm like a racehorse in the gate. I'm ready to go. And God says, maybe physically you're ready to go. But spiritually you're not. You ever got tired of waiting on God?
Yes,
come on, be honest. You ever got tired? I mean, just to the point you just really give up on a hope or a dream? Amen. Something that you thought God wanted to do or you to do in your life, and it just never would come, and it never would come, and it never would come? I remember getting bitter. I mean, really getting, I didn't get out of church, but I got bitter. Yeah. I was a young preacher, and the Lord was using me to preach out of our church more than any other preacher in our church, and White Oak was like Happy Valley. We had a slew of preachers. And one by one, God started calling these preachers out of our church. Jeff Bird, pastor right down here at Gateway. I'm trying to think who else. Randy Clark, who was a pastor at Faith right down here on 101. Ronnie Tibbetts. One by one. Here I was. I mean, I got the big head a little bit because I'm preaching out of the church a lot and getting to preach in a lot of other places. So I'm the big-time evangelist, amen? And God burdened my heart to pastor. And I told God I would. And I got excited about it. Well, instead of God pulling me out, He pulled Jeff. Then He pulls Randy. Then He pulls Ronnie. And Earl Jr., Brother Earl's son, was one of my dearest friends. He wasn't in our church, but Earl got a church. I'm sitting there and I got mad. I'm sitting there and I got really upset. Do you know how many of those men are pastoring the church they were called out to pastor? None, I don't think, unless Ronnie Tibbetts is. Sir? He has, hadn't he? Out of all those men. In other words, I was jealous over what God was doing in their life. I felt like I was ready to go, but God said, no, you're not ready to go. So that wind began to blow slowly. It was like when we got saved, we just took off. At first it was the bus ministry, and then Sunday school, and then the RAs and GAs and the boys and girls group in the church. Me and Angie did that, and then the youth pastor, and then, boy, it was just boom, 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 boom. Now all of a sudden, you just sat there a while.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
You just sat there a while. There's another sermon or two you need to hear.
Yeah.
There's another Sunday school lesson or two you need to get.
Amen.
Amen? Did you know God has you where you are for a reason?
Yes, sir.
Amen? God has you where you are for a reason. Sometimes those winds of God's direction blow contrary to us. Sometimes they seem really slow. I wonder how many times Abraham gave up on his dream. I wonder how many times Abraham, you know he gave up once. You know he gave up one time when he went into the handmaid and had Ishmael by Hagar. Did you know God didn't even recognize Ishmael? I just thought I'd throw that in. God did not recognize. You know what God said? God said in Genesis chapter 22, "Take now thine son, thine only son."
Amen.
Amen. "Whom thou lovest, and offer him on one of the mountains which I'll tell thee of."
Amen.
Amen. I just thought I'd throw that in. It ain't got nothing to do with sermon. Sometimes, look at verse number 9. Sometimes those winds seem absolutely dangerous. The Bible said, "Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was now," say it with me, "dangerous, because the," there we go, "because the fast was now already past," Paul admonished them. They said the sailing was now dangerous. Sometimes it seems like we're in a dangerous area in our lives. Amen? Do you ever, get to a place where you feel like the smallest decisions can affect your life greatly? In a big way. Amen? I've seen people leave this church too soon. Did you know anger is never a reason to leave a church?
Amen.
Let me tell you something. As long as this church has got sound doctrine, the right Bible, and the right music, unless God is really moving you, you're crazy if you leave. Not because we're the only church in town. We're not. There's some good churches around here. Amen. And I can't wait for our spring revival, brother. We're going to involve. I already got Brother Chris Simpson. He's going to bring their choir. We're going to get some other choirs and get some of these local churches. They're good churches here. But this is yours. This is where God put you. Amen. Amen. Every person who joined this church and became a part of this church, they made this statement, "God has led us here."
Yes. Amen.
I wonder sometimes, is God confused with people moving as much as they move?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. When you leave a church for the wrong reason, chances are you're going to get out of church.
Yeah. Amen.
Chances are you're going to get out of church.
Amen.
Amen. Best thing you can do when you get mad is hang on till you get over it.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Best thing you can do, I get mad.
Yeah.
Come on, y'all.
Amen.
I get mad. I get mad at some of y'all.
Yeah.
Sometimes so bad it makes you just want to spit. I mean, just mad.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
But I'm staying.
Yeah. Amen.
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 And the best thing you can do is stay still. Even though it seems like the winds are getting bad. Somebody said, "Well, I'm leaving the church because I don't have any friends there." What's that got to do with
it? Amen.
Do you go to work every day because you love everybody there? Come on, talk to me now.
Amen.
No, man. Go to work because you need a job.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad you have friends here. But that ain't the biggest reason we come here. We come for God to speak to our heart and do something in our lives. So sometimes when the wind blows, it's God's wind of direction in our life. Sometimes when the wind blows, it's God's wind of correction.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. He said, "As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten." You ever had God get on you?
Yeah.
You ever had God get on you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You know what God will get on you quicker far than anything else? Doing other people wrong.
Yeah.
Doing other people wrong. We want to list all these big, big, big sins. Oh, how about bitterness? How about envy, strife, backbiting, gossip?
Amen.
God, but you start hurting God's children, you're in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You start hurting God's children, God will spank you. When you come into a storm, you might ought to check. It's not always a blanket situation. Okay, there's a trial in my life. God must be trying to move me. No, He may be whooping you.
That's right.
He may be trying to move you. He may be trying to draw you closer to Him, but He may be tanning your hide just a little bit.
Amen.
Amen. He may be skinning you a little while.
Amen.
Amen. A violent storm will sometimes descend on us without warning. We don't even see it coming, and bam, there it is.
Yes,
have you ever had a storm hit your life and you knew exactly why it was?
Amen.
Usually when God's correcting you, you don't have to wonder why you're there.
Amen.
Can I say that again? You don't have to wonder, God, why is this storm in my life? You might say it, but down in your heart, you know why it's there.
Yeah.
Amen? You know exactly why it's there, and you know what you're supposed to do. Amen? We're supposed to give up and submit ourselves to God.
Amen.
Old Brother Earl Hughes, I think it's on one of Daniel Waters' CDs. I can't remember where he's got me preaching, Brother Earl Hughes and Brother Mark McGahee. But old Brother Earl, I heard him preach that sermon several times. He's talking about the chastening hand of God. He said, if you'll just submit, he said, God may just lay the hickory down because He don't like whooping on you.
That's good.
Amen. He don't like whooping on you.
Amen.
My little grandson sitting right there tonight, there's been a couple of times in his life that I've got on him really hard, and I don't like it. One time, first time I ever smacked him, I just popped his little diaper because he bit me. I mean, he bit me. We was laying on the couch together, and he'd nibble at your shirt. I don't think he meant to bite me. And he was gnawing on my shirt, and he bit me right on the collarbone. And I hollered at him. I said, don't you do that again. It scared him. He started crying. And I pulled him up close to me to comfort him, and he bit me again. I thought, you little devil, you. Amen. I smacked his little bottom. He cried, and I cried. Amen. I think it saddens God to have to correct His children. Amen. But we ought to allow correction to come. Amen. And we ought to receive it right. Amen. The better you receive correction, probably the lesser of it you'll get. Does that make sense? The less harsh it will be. With Ashley, all I had to do was, ham, just speak gruff like that. That's it. I probably count on one hand the time I've spanked her in her life. Levi, a little different story. His correction was a lot more harsh at times. Why? Because that didn't work.
Yeah.
Amen? Because that didn't work. God would much rather say, hey, through a message.
Yes, sir.
Yep.
Through a message. We've got to the place where we let preaching go in one ear,
yes, sir,
and out the other.
Amen.
And it's worse here in this part of the country than anywhere in the world.
Yes, it is.
Than anywhere in the world. You could corner up the average church member in Walmart tonight after church and ask them what I preached, and they won't know. You know why? They didn't listen. But they can tell you what their TV show was about today. Amen? It would be a lot easier if we'd allow God to correct us the easy way. When myself, Brother Freddie, or Brother Charles, any of us stand in this pulpit, it's not to waste our breath. God's trying to speak to your heart.
Amen.
And you're texting?
Yeah, go ahead, preacher.
Balancing your checkbook? Who was that said that Sunday night, Friday night at the watch night? Said they would sit in the balcony sometime and you wouldn't believe what you could see looking down here. Brother Alan Parker, how dare you? I mean, that's not just rude. You're missing something. I hope your checkbook don't balance when you do it in here. Amen. I hope it come up in red every time. Amen. This ain't checkbook balancing time. Amen. I know y'all get tired of hearing me. I know you do. You've heard everything I know and some of what a whole lot of other people know. Amen? We get it where we can get it. You've heard all our jokes, all our illustrations. I think maybe God let me get sick so you wouldn't have to hear me for a few days. I don't know. But you don't listen. Our problem is, and I got stuck right here, our problem is we've got too familiar with things. Amen? I'll travel to another state to people I don't even know. And I'll preach to them. They'll sit on the edge of their seats, line up for 30 minutes after a service, wanting their Bible signed and all that good stuff. Well, what's the difference, preacher? They don't know me like you do.
Yeah.
Amen? But we're still your pastors.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. God's trying to speak to you. Listen. Listen. I'd rather take a verbal warning from God than a physical one.
Amen.
Amen. When it came to my mother growing up, I'd rather her just whoop me. If she said, sit down, me and you need to talk, I'd say, no, just get a hickory. Amen. There's an easy way and there's a hard way. Amen. God will allow that wind to blow that he might correct you. Now, I love what Revelation 3:19 said. He said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So every time God's getting on me, God's showing me he loves me. That's what correction does. You remember when you was a kid and mama was a whooping on you and you thought she hated your guts? And then you became a parent yourself? The Bible said, if you spare your rod, you hate your son. So the way to show them you love them is to correct them.
Amen.
And God shows us his love by correcting us. Amen?
Amen.
Well, I don't know why you're in the storm. You could look around and see if God's trying to move you closer to him.
Yeah.
It could be. I know that crowd always says, oh, God's judging you, God's judging you. It could be.
Yeah.
It's not always that way, though. But sometimes, amen,
amen,
I need correcting. Do you?
Yes.
Amen. I mean, I need a knot jerked in my neck.
Yes.
Amen. And then lastly, and I'm done, there's the satisfying wind of God's destiny. Amen. In Acts 28 and verse number 13, the Bible talks about the south wind blowing softly. Was that in chapter 27? He talks about that south wind blowing softly. I like that. You know what that speaks of? Just speaks of peace. When you are where God wants you to be, first wind. When you've gotten things right that God's dealing with you about, second wind, there's a peace.
Yes, sir.
Amen? There's a peace. There's a peace about being where you know you're supposed to be.
Yeah.
Amen? One of the worst things, I've said this for years and years, one of the worst things I'd hate to have to do right now in this day and time is try to find a church. Not because there's not many out there, but simply because that's a big decision.
Yes, sir.
Amen? That's a big decision. Did you know how your children turn out?
Yeah.
Could depend on where they grow up in church?
Yes, sir.
You listening?
Yes, sir.
Are you listening? I want my kids in a church where even the junior church preachers,
yeah.
Brother Thomas, let them know that there's a place called heaven and a place called hell.
Yeah.
Amen? Somebody that's not afraid to scare them.
That's right.
Amen. There's a peace about knowing that you're in the right place.
Yes,
amen. I'm glad I don't come in here or get up every Sunday and go, where should we go today?
Yeah.
I've had people tell me that they got so burnt out with trying to find a church, they quit. Amen. How many of you know you where God wants you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Me too. I don't like it all the time. I get in a rut just like anybody else does. But I know this is home.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Me and my wife may not be on the best of terms at all times. We are pretty much, though. But just because we have a disagreement, that doesn't mean she's not my wife anymore.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
She's still my wife. And there's a peace about that. Amen.
Amen.
And there's a peace about being where God wants you to be. Amen? There's a place God wants us. There's a place that he desires us to get to. And if we're not careful, we'll miss it. If we're not careful, we'll miss it. We'll do in this first storm where God's trying to direct our life, we'll do what Peter did. We start looking at the wind. And we start looking at the waves instead of the master. Amen? Remember Brother Fisher? I'll never forget it. Pray I don't faint and fall off his table. Remember Brother Fisher standing on this communion table about 3 years ago? Maybe four? And he said, when trouble starts coming this way, and this way, and this way, and this way. You remember what he said? He said, I've learned to look this way. Yeah. Not look at the situations, not look at the trouble or the trial, but look and see what God's doing in my life. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Don't be looking. That's how you get bitter. That's how you get sideways. That's how you get angry and mad. You're looking at circumstances, and you're looking at people. Don't you look toward God and see what He's trying to do in your life. Amen? Yeah. I believe God will let people talk about you every now and then just to test you.
Yeah.
Amen?
I agree, sir.
I believe He will. I believe God will let people or allow people to let you down.
Yes. Amen, bro.
Amen? But if we're not careful, we'll get to big head and get to thinking this thing's about us. Amen? Amen? So sometimes when that wind blows, God's trying to get us to where He wants us to be. And sometimes we may be right dead in the center of where He wants us to be, and He's trying to correct us. Amen? He's trying to correct us. And some of that stuff He's trying to correct you over is hard. It dies hard. Amen? Bitterness dies hard. I don't know how many times I've heard people say, I'll forgive them, but I won't never forget it. Is that right? I don't get mad, one person said. I get even. That stuff's hard. That stuff's hard, man. You have cross words with somebody or a disagreement with somebody, you'll hold that over their head forever. You better learn to let it go. God will beat you to death. Amen? Amen. And then there's the peace of being exactly where you know God wants you to be. Amen? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Well, we got through it without falling over anyhow. Let me just say publicly to Brother Charles, I appreciate him just standing in the gap and making up the hedge on Sunday. Amen. And boy, I've heard over and over what a blessing it was. By the way, we don't have our duplicating thing back there is about on its last leg. I think we can only make like one CD at a time. But we're going to get some CDs made. When I was at Brother Barry's last week, somebody he had ran into from Texas gave him a CD. And it was Brother Earl Hughes went into a little studio years and years ago and recorded a cassette. It's got about 15 songs on it, Brother Earl singing. And they had that cleaned up and put on a CD, and I've got that. Forgot all about it until I started church tonight and saw it in my truck. But if you love Brother Earl, it's not Nashville talent there, brother. It's Brother Earl, amen? Me and Brother Barry riding down the road, he's listening to that. He said, can you believe the way he says things? You know, of course, Brother Barry's a Yankee, you know, it all sounds really funny to him. But boy, I'm telling you, it'll stir your heart, boy.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, come get you a prayer sheet, boys. Y'all hand them things out and spend some time in prayer tonight. Amen. While you're coming, I'll tell you something else kind of funny. I thought Ashley was taking Hayden to school today, and he wasn't especially wanting to go, and he looked at the dash of the car, and he said, uh-oh, Mama, we out of gas. We'll try again tomorrow. Oh, amen. That's classic, amen.